Now, the rainbow is a sign of a covenant, isn't it, in the Bible? What covenant was that?
A sign
that God would never flood the earth again. That's a sign of God's... It's called the Noahic covenant, or the covenant that God made with Noah. And he not only made it with Noah, but he made it with the whole creation. The earth, too. All the earth. The Bible says the earth groans for the redemption of the Lord. Man sold the earth and the creation into sin when he rebelled in the garden and disobeyed God, man and woman. And he sold the earth into bondage again. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came and he lived the life that he did. Jehovah came to earth and he redeemed us, as Brother Walt said a few minutes ago, that he came to this earth to redeem us, and he did it. One of these days, he's going to take possession of it. Not yet. Sometimes, no, not sometimes, every day I wish he'd come back. Every day I wish he'd take possession of this earth, because he's the rightful owner of it. But the time isn't yet, but it's coming. The time is coming. All through the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, we saw things that happened in the past, things that were going on then, things that were going to happen in the future with the Lord's churches, and then all of a sudden, change. The fourth chapter of the book of Revelation is that change. We go to heaven. We leave the earth, and we are raptured up to heaven, and we're going to learn how to worship God. That's what they're doing up here. They're worshiping the Creator. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And it says, I'm just going to read this to you because I'm going to read that and then we're going to get up to where we're going to start again. After these things I saw, and behold, a door having been opened into heaven, and the voice, the first which I heard as a bugle, a trumpet, speaking in human language with me, someone speaking in a human language, that voice was as loud as a trumpet, is what it means, saying, you come up here, and I shall point out to you things that are bindingly necessary to occur after these things. After what things? After what things? What would it be after what?
The rapture.
After the rapture, after the church age. All right? And then it says, euthios. Immediately, that's a little adverb. You can look that one up on page 15 if you want to, in Benjamin Davidson's analytical lexicon. Immediately, I came to be in the spirit world, is what he's talking about. And behold, a throne. Now that word throne there is used, I think it is 14 times in this one chapter. And I think 46 times in the whole book of Revelation. Throne, the throne of God is where God dwells. It says that there is not a temple there. Israel had to go to a tabernacle, and they had, in David's time, later than David's time, David gathered all the material. Solomon built the Temple of Solomon, and they went to the temple to worship God. And his presence was in a place in that temple called the Holy of Holies. And in the tabernacle, a place called the Holy of Holies. But in heaven, there is going to be no temple. Because God is the temple. In heaven. He is that bright, shining one. Says, I became in the spirit world, and behold, a throne. It kept on sitting in the heaven, and upon the throne, the one sitting was similar to like a stone jasper. Jasper's green, and the sardis. Sardis is flesh-colored, a pinkish flesh-colored stone. And a rainbow, and we look at that word iris there. See that word iris? That's a Greek word. Your eye has an iris, that's the color around your eye. The colored part of your eye is iris. Okay? And that is not a half rainbow, but a full rainbow. Okay? The iris is a full rainbow. And God wants people to know that He's a covenant-keeping God. He's a contract-keeping God. The rainbow we see here. Now, just here in a moment, we're going to see the disturbances of a storm. When you have a storm, what happens? What do you start seeing at a distance?
Lightning.
Lightning. What do you start hearing?
Thunder.
Thunder. All right. Well, every storm, after the storm, there is what? A rainbow. But this time, we're going to see a rainbow before the storm. The rainbow around the throne of God. And the throne is, it's the center place. It's like the hub of a wheel. The center place. That is the center of attraction. The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And above that Holy of Holies was the Shekinah glory of God. In the daytime, it was a cloud. At nighttime, it was a pillar of fire. That pillar of fire, that glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, is going to light up the whole heavens. And on that throne is where it is. God and all of His glory is on His throne because He deserves to be on the throne. And the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we're going to have some beings created here. And I think that those beings are created to lead out and teach everyone how to worship God. It's going to teach us how to worship God. We try. We say we go to worship services. We say we do. But the worship services are not so much for God, but for us. They entertain us, don't they? When we sing, well, they do. They entertain people. They just do it. The glorious songs that are sung, we sing to the glory of God, but it entertains us too. I don't know how to say it. I need to use this brand new pencil here. I'm going to get one of them out here too. But we need to focus on the things of God instead of so much on each other and ourselves. Yeah. Marker out here. What is that? Shape? Triangle. Okay. What is this little thing right here? Huh? That's a funnel. All right. We need to funnel our worship, this shape, to focus toward God, toward Him. So much that we do reflects off of each other. We need to learn how to focus our worship to God and to Him. And this book right here tells you how to do it. Well, brother, I don't know how to do that in this age. There's going to be some created beings that are going to teach us how to worship God and lead us out in the worship of God. Because we just haven't got it right yet. We're working on it. We try. We try our best. We try to get things organized. We try to have a worship service to God. But it's not good enough yet. We need to funnel it. Direct it. Just, you know what a shotgun is? When we do something, it just kind of shotguns and splatters all over the place. It's a many pellets going out of a shotgun. It spreads and goes like this. We need to rifle shot it. Our glory and praise and worship to God. To Him that redeemed us. Now let's look and see what happens here. Around this throne, it's like jasper, it's green. And green is the number of life, or the color of life, that is. And sardis, the color of flesh, living. Okay? And a rainbow around the throne, like in appearance to emerald green. Okay? Not so much, just remember now, the stones aren't as important as the colors, the beauty. God is a God of beauty. He created beautiful things. If you look at a rattlesnake close enough, there's beauty in that thing. There is. And a frog. There's beauty in a frog. Why? There really is, young lady. A little tadpole. And an insect. As much as we don't like a cockroach, that's a beautiful being. I'll tell you what. The Lord, when He made a cockroach, He really did something. That thing is tough. And the housefly. All of these little things, we need to realize that these things are showing forth the glory and the ability of a God to create things that we can't even begin to think about. A tree. You can go up and look at those gigantic, beautiful trees up in Northern California, those giant redwoods, and even up here in Yosemite or Sequoia, whatever it's called up here. They've got General Grant and Sherman or whatever they are. There's giant trees, 300-something feet tall. Then you can go up there where I used to live, up on White Mountain, see these little stubby-looking things that were alive when Abraham was on the earth, believe it or not. Way back then, he can show you when Adam was created. And some of those things, unbelievable. Trees 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 years old in rings. Unbelievable. These little rascals are living. Half of the tree will dry off to save the rest of it sometimes, but they still live. That's bristlecone pines. Beauty of the creation of God. And around, and by the way, that word kiklos in there, that means, we got our word circle from that. Around the throne, thrones, 24, and upon the thrones, 24 elders sitting, having been clothed in garments white, and upon the heads of them, crowns golden. And we looked at this a little bit last week. This is where we finished off. I think, a little bit further. But I want to catch up where you are. 24 elders on 24 thrones. 12 and 12 is 24. They were 12 tribes of Israel, and there were 24 orders of priests. In 2 Chronicles 24, 3 through 5, you can see that. And the book of Revelation says he has made his people a nation, a kingdom of priests. What do priests do in the Old Testament? What did priests do?
They were the intermediary between man and God.
But they ministered to the people and God. And they were that intermediate. But they ministered to God and to the people. Kind of go-between, but they ministered to God. We're all going to be ministers. All going to be leading out in the worship of God. They led out in the worship of God. We're going to learn how to worship God. 24 elders. This possibly, these 24 people could be the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was 12 apostles that were in the church originally, weren't they? Well, it could be made up of those, of all the people in the church age, and all of Israel, all of the saved, and during all of those period of time, Israel and the church age, complete new order of things. The completed order. All those 24. And they're dressed out in garments. They have been rewarded. And they're sitting on thrones to rule and reign with Christ. That's what it's talking about. Completed. They are glorified. They are rewarded. And are sitting on thrones there with God. Sitting on 24 thrones. Then it says, out of the throne, they came out lightnings and voices and thunders. And we talked about the high tones and low tones. And all of these are the sounds you hear in a storm. Well, on this earth, there's going to be a great storm. But even in the great storm on the earth that takes period during this little 7-year period of time, still, there is grace. Did you know that? God would not be a God of holiness without judgment. God would not be a God of holiness without hell. Did you know that? For God to be holy and just, there has to be a hell. And there has to be judgment. And we think so many times, people talk about the love of God, and God wouldn't do this. He loves, he loves, he loves, he loves. God is a God of love, but he is a God of judgment also. He wouldn't be a pure and just God without being a God of judgment. And while this judgment is taking place on this earth, grace is still being applied down there because people are still being saved on this earth. Even during this terrible time, people are being saved. And their hearts are being given to God. They're dying for the testimony of Christ. We hear about that later. But God, even when the judgment is coming, the storm, the hell on earth is coming, there is grace involved in it. There's that covenant-keeping God, that rainbow before the storm this time. Okay? Ear-splitting sounds and thunders, deep, high, and low, and lamps of fire burning. down in the presence of the throne, which is, they are the seven spirits of God. That's a number of perfection and completeness. Teaching the omnipresence of God. Who was the lampstand in the Bible? Who did Jesus tell us the lampstand was? The seven lampstands. Who are the seven lampstands? It's all in heaven now. We're in heaven after the rapture. Who are the seven lampstands of the book of Revelation? Seven churches. All right, the churches are with him. The churches are glorified and in God. Up there in the presence of God. The shining forth the light of the Holy Spirit, even in heaven. 4:6 then. Revelation 4:6. Now we'll do some Greek reading here a little bit. Kai. Enopion. Tu. Thronu. Hos. Thalassa. Yalene. Homiawa. Christolo. The R word crystal comes right out of that. Kai. In. Meso. Tu. Thronu. Kai. Kiklo. Tu. Thronu. Tassara. Zoa. Genonta. Athalmon. In Prostem. Kai. Opison. Let's look and see the translation of this now. And down right in front of, in the presence of the throne. This word enopion there, it means right down here in front of you. In front of the throne of God. God is on the throne. Now remember that. God is on the throne. There's a sea glassy, like crystal. A glassy sea. What is a sea? What's the sea?
A lot of times it denotes the masses of people.
Well, yeah. It means the mass of people, sometimes the Bible says. But what do you think? What is a sea? It's an expanse of water, isn't it? It's a body of water. It's an expanse. It's talked about a large expanse. When you talk about a sea, you're not talking about a puddle. You're not talking about a small little bitty pond. We're talking about a vast expanse. And you know what's sitting on this vast sea here? The throne sitting on it. This is the foundation stone of the throne of God. A glassy, clear, crystal-like expanse all around God. The foundation stone of truth and light and life and all of that. And it's clear, crystal clear. We get our word crystal from that. Crystallo. It's like, it's glassy. This sea is glassy like crystal. It's a foundation stone like polished crystal. And in the middle of the throne and around the throne, four living beings. This King James, I think it's... What in the world is it called there? What's King James? What? Beasts. They're not beasts at all. These are living beings, living things. Lives. These are living beings. Now watch it describe them. And you can go to the book Ezekiel, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. There is a theophany there. And I believe also it talks... It's a... pre-revelation of these living beings also. Let somebody go to Ezekiel 1:4-10 for me. Ezekiel. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 1:4-10. We're seeing the majesty and the holiness of God. Have you got that, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, can you read that for me? Out loud and... So let's hear. Machine can pick you up. Well, I've got one of them right over here.
Oh, I need a big one. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud.
Hold on, right there, just a second. In the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel, it tells us that the throne of God is straight up north. You go to the northest part of the earth and go up north, and I believe into the third heaven. And that's where the throne of God is. Now, that's coming from there. Okay? That's the direction it's coming from, okay? Coming out of heaven from the throne of God. What is it?
A whirlwind.
A whirlwind. Tell us about it.
And a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. And they had four. They four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, they had four. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies.
What a creature. What a living being, huh? What a living being. But that typifies something. Now let's look and see in the book of Revelation, we're going to see this type of creature again. Now, many theologians have taught down through the ages that these four creatures, one looking like a lion, one looking like an ox, one looking like a man, and one looking like an eagle, that they typified the four Gospels that were to come. Which one which one do you think was the eagle, the godly divine creature? Which gospel would that be?
John's
gospel. How about the lion?
Matthew.
Brother, you're his sharpest. A double-edged sword. Well, we got two to go. How about the ox? The servant. The man, God the servant. Came down to serve man. Which one was that?
Luke.
Mark.
Mark.
Okay. Luke. You only missed one. How about the face of man? That's got to be the only one left. That's Luke the physician talking about the kinsman redeemer, God our kinsman redeemer. Now, you can look at that and you can see all the four Gospels. You can see Christ portrayed in these four ways. All right? And it says here, around the throne, four living beings filling full or being full of eyes before and behind. That eye is never directed. These creatures could see, these living beings could see in all directions at the same time, like the omnipresence of God. In the book of Ezekiel, it talked about in going, and they had eyes in every direction they went. Whichever way they went, they could see where they went. They weren't going backwards. You know, when you're at the North Pole, right at the North Pole, every place you go is south. Did you know that? Every direction you go is south. When you're at the South Pole, every direction you go is north. Well, when you have eyes on all sides and can see everything, there is no way to go backwards. You're always going forward. All right? This living being, we got our word zoo from this word. Zoology. See, it's zoe there. Zoa. Zoa. Zeta, omega, alpha. Zoa. Living beings. living beings. Eyes before and eyes behind. And prosthen and opisthen. Both directions. Before and behind. 4 and verse 7. Kai. To. Zo. Own. Zoon. To. Proton. Omion. Leonte. Kai. To. Deuteron. Zoon. Homion. Moscow. Kai. To. Triton. Zoon. Echon. To. Prosopon. Hos. Anthropon. Kai. To. Tetarton. Zoon. Homion. Aeto. Petomino. Let's look at this now, translate it just a little bit. Ezekiel 1 and 10, you have to cross-reference that, and is also Ezekiel 10 and verse 14. And the living being, the first, proton. See that? Protozoon, in English, that scientific term is right out of this Greek word right here. The living being, the first, like the lion. Okay, like the lion. The word lion, leonte, we got our word lion right out of this. Leonte means sharp eyes. A lion can see very well at night. Your cat can see very well at night. And you know what? You can tell the time of day by a cat's eyes. Did you know that? Whatever shape they're going at midnight, they're round. And then they're part of the time at noon, they're pretty slitted. And then in the afternoon, they start opening back up again. You can tell time by a cat's eyes. Leonte, the lion, the sharp eyes. What is a lion famous for? How many of you ever watch television? They see this big lion going, whoa! I think it's MGM, isn't it? Or something like that. Metro Goldwyn Mayer, and they had this lion, this old rascal there, his hair falling out, he was so old, he growled and showed his teeth. A lion's mouth is one of the strongest mouths of all time. It's powerful. It is powerful. The jaws of a lion are powerful. All right? And he says that he was like a lion, and the second living being is like a calf, an ox. An ox is a beast of burden, isn't it? Of course, today it's a beast of McDonald's. You know, McDonald's, Golden Arches or whatever. They don't take cattle out and work them much anymore. You don't see people working oxes. Oxen, at one time, an ox was too valuable to kill and eat. I remember up in Fish Lake Valley when we lived up there. We about starved one winter up there. We had cows all over the place. I think we had 400 cows, but you couldn't eat them. Couldn't go eat them. You couldn't just go out and kill one. It's too valuable to kill and eat a cow. One time, people didn't kill their cattle. They used them for workhorses, work cattle, beasts of burden. They plowed the fields with ox. Like a calf, and the third, the triton. Look at that word up there, deuteron, though. That was second. Okay. Uno, dos, in Spanish. Okay. Deuteron. That Spanish word, dos, comes from this word. Okay. And then the third one, what is it, the number three in Spanish?
Trace.
Look at this one, triton. That's where the word trace in Spanish came from, triton. And the third living being having the face as of one of mankind. As of a person of, like a face of a human being. Okay? And we talked about Luke portraying Jesus Christ as the perfect man, didn't we? the Son of Man, the Redeemer. And the fourth tetarton, the fourth living being, like the eagle flying. Like the eagle flying. You know, the American Indian, he looked upon the eagle as something that was up there flying around where God lived. Something close to God. And even in the Word of God, we see that same reference here. Something that is divine. The coup feathers and a war bonnet. That's what you call them, was a war bonnet. It wasn't a war bonnet at all. That was a trophy. You know, people have trophies on their fireplace, on their mantles and stuff like that. The American Indian, when he went out to do anything, usually it was to make a treaty or greet somebody, he wore his coup feathers. And they were stuck in a bonnet. Now, some of them only have two or three or one or something like that. But if a person had done many graceful deeds in his life, the more feathers he had. And sometimes they would be all around the bonnet like that, and they would run down in trails behind him. And he'd have maybe 150 center tail feathers from a golden eagle. The center tail feathers, not wings, but the center, there's only two center tail feathers in a golden eagle. Those center eagle feathers is what would be in those what they call war bonnets. That wasn't what they were called. A coup. It was a crown, is what it was. It was a crown, a stephanos from Greek. This is what it was. It was a crown of glory. And they would, his wife or wives or someone in the tribe, this person, the tribe would award him a coup feather. He either had done some valiant deed in rescuing somebody's life, or he had hand to hand with and touched the enemy. The most brave thing that a warrior could do was to go and touch the enemy. A lot of touching. Not stab him or cut his head off, but touch him and walk away alive. And they would receive a coup feather. And it would be all decorated around the bottom. And sometimes they would have, from his horse, he would have streamers on the end. He would pull some of the hairs out of his horse's mane or tail and put a streamer in the center of that feather. And that's what they would have, is this crown of glory that they would wear when they went out to meet somebody. Or they would not wear that to war, by the way. It was too precious to them. The hands of all their friends and their loved ones were in making this bonnet, and they weren't going to take something like that out so somebody could steal, because it's too precious to them. They wouldn't wear that out there like that. Face of a man, the fourth living being, like the eagle flying. A bird of prey. An eagle is a raptor, isn't it? What does we studied the word rapture last week. Rapture is a Bible term. We studied that last week. The word rapture is a Bible term. And when God reaches down and snatches up His people off of this earth out of danger, snatched out of danger and up to Him, the word rapture, our English word rapture, comes from that. That word raptor. It means the marks of a bird of prey, the marks of the raptor on its victim. God is going to put His fingerprints on us one of these days and jerk us out of this filthy earth and right up into heaven, into this throne of glory that we see here. 4 and verse 8. Kai. Ta. Tesara. Zoa. Hen. This word hen there, look at that. See, it's got a rough breather over it. It would be en if it didn't have that rough breather on it, but this has got the H sound. It makes an H sound. Ha. Hen. And that is a numeral, by the way. That's the numeral one. What? Hen. Yeah, like a hen. Hen. And then kath. And that's kata. It's contracted. The word is kata. It's a preposition. The preposition kata there. And it's changed for euphony. Remember what euphony means? It's a good sound. So it'll sound better. Greeks changed the spelling of their words in a sentence so they could sing it almost. Saying it. It just rolls off. It's smooth. Instead of ka, it would be, instead of an, it's han, kaf, an. Han, kaf, an. See that? Han, kaf, an, atone, kom. It would be smooth, good sounding, beautifully sounding words, a sentence. Han, kaf. You can say it after me. Han, kaf, han, atone, ekom, ana, perugmas, hek, heklothan, kai, esothan, gamusan, athalmon, kai, anakusan, uk, akusan, hemeras. See that rough breather over that Ada there above? Hemeras. Not Ameros, but Hemeras, rough breather. Hemeras? Kai? Nyctos? With our word night right out of that word. Our word night comes right out of this word, Nyctos. Legontes? Hagios? Hagios? Hagios. Kyrios? Ho? Theos? Ho. Panta kraturi. Ho. Ain. Kai. Ho. On. Kai. Ho. Ekomenos. This is a beautiful verse. This is a song to praise the Creator God of heaven. It is. In this book, there are many, many songs of praise in the book of Revelation. Revelation 4, 8 through 11. Revelation 5, 9 through 13. 7, 12 through 17. 11, 15 through 18. 12, 10 through 12. 15, 3 and 4. 16, 5 through 7. 18, 2 through 8. And 19, 2 through 6 are all songs in the book of Revelation. They're songs to God. Every one of them are songs. Doesn't that make you feel good, Brother Walter? Songs to God. Songs. Praises. Hymns to God. And here's part of one right here. And the four living beings, one by one of them, means six around in a circle. Okay? Within, they are full of eyes and anapusin. It says, the word anapusin, it means to not rest. That's what it means, to not rest. Every human being has to, in this life and time, we have to rest. They say a person should sleep 8 hours a day. Brother Walter, I bet you don't get that much sleep, do you? I know he only goes to work about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It works to what, at night? 7 or something?
Oh, not that
way. Works hard. Cease, the poil, or pao, means to gather your momentum, to refuel, to rest. We're supposed to spend one third of our lives resting, the other two thirds doing something. These beings do not rest. They don't have to rest. Rest is not necessary. Okay? And if you want to look this up on in Thayer's lexicon, you can look it up on page 40. They have eyes and rest not. They have day or night. Hemeras is day, night is nyctos. We've got a word night right out of that. The English word night comes right out of nyctos. It says, and they're saying something. The word saying here is present participle active, nominative plural masculine. These living beings are constantly saying something. And what are they saying? Hagios, say that. Hagios, Hagios, Hagios. This is a song. Holy, holy, holy. There's a song we sing like that, isn't it, brother? Holy, holy, holy. What is that? How's it go? Holy, holy, holy. You know these things, don't you? I'm not even good at it. I don't know. You know, I don't even know Jesus loves me, brother. I couldn't sing that song if you haven't done it to me. I can sing one verse of it.
Lord God Almighty.
Say that again.
Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty.
You know where that song comes from? Right here. This is where that song comes from. This is that song. You're going to hear this song in heaven. Sue, do that for me one more time, brother. We got to have that. Come on, Brother Walter.
Your sound's better.
You can sing together. I don't care. Let's hear that one more time.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
That's beautiful. Right out of here. Lord, holy, holy, holy. What does the word holy mean? What does it mean? Holy. Hagios. Boy, I use my pen. Hagios. What does that mean? It means not of earth. So if it's not earth, where is it? You could say heavenly, 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 couldn't you? Not of earth. Heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. Beautiful. Heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. Lord, the God, the Panta Cross Peru. God Almighty. God All Powerful. Beautiful. Beautiful words. Inspired. This is an inspired song, brother. This is an inspired song. This is a song right out of heaven. You want to learn some songs out of heaven? Come and study the book of Revelation. We're going to get all these I named to you. Those are songs right out of heaven. They've already been written in heaven. Who are they written by? These four living beings created to lead out in the worship of God. So he teaches how to worship God, brother. So we can focus that worship on Him. Beautiful. The Lord, the God Almighty. The one He kept on being. What does that mean? He kept on being third person singular and perfect indicative active. The one He kept on being. The eternal one. All right? Jesus, instead of Him in John 1 and 1, in beginning kept on being the Word, or the Jehovah. The Jehovah kept on being towards the God. The Jehovah kept on being God. That's my translation of John 1 and 1, right out of Greek. And I mean it's true to form. Brother, if you don't believe me, you can ask Bill Neighbors. I quoted that to him one night after he preached that, and I said, let me give you my translation of John 1 and 1. He looked at it, he listened to me, and he says, I don't know a lot about Greek, but he said, I'm going to go look that up. And so anyway, he went and looked it up. He came back and he said, tell me that one more time. What did you say to me before? I want to hear this right. I said, in beginning kept on being the Word or Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the God. And the Jehovah kept on being God. He said, that's what I thought you said. Then he came back about 2 weeks later and he said, brother, he said, let me shake your hand. Boy, he shook my hand. He said, man, I looked that up. And he said, what you told me is not in any book anywhere. But it's in the grammars. He said, it's in the grammars. What you said is grammatically correct. And he said, not only grammatically correct, it's theologically correct. And he said, everything else is wrong. And that's right. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful verse. And it is. in beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the God. He never ceased being God. Jehovah was the coming one, the one who would become. That's what the word Jehovah means. And Jehovah kept on being God. Even when he was on this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, he was God. The whole beauty of God. Heaven came to earth. Heaven came to earth for those times, and he displayed his glory. It says, John 1:14, and the Jehovah became flesh, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten God on earth. Heaven came to earth. And what did man do to him? Crucify him. We're going to worship him here, brother. And these beings are going to tell us how. The one who kept on being, the one being. That word being there, that's from a little Greek to be verb, and the same one that ain came from. Ain is third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. And this one here is present, participle, active, and it's nominative, singular, masculine. Still coming from Amy. Little thing in the I am. And you take that and put it in perfect tense and it says, I kept on being, or he kept on being. And this one here is being. You know what, when you think about the presence of God and the glory of God and who he is, he has no beginning and no end, and he always was, he always will be. My daughter asked me that. He says, when did God begin that? I said, he didn't. He just kept on being. Forever. In the past and forever in the future. God didn't have a beginning. He's God. If God had a beginning, he wouldn't be God. Did you know that? And John 1:1, in the beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. He was. He is. He always has been. In the book of Revelation, he says, the one who kept on being, the one who became dead, that was Jesus Christ on the cross, and the one who lives forever. The beauty of the language. Beautiful. Boy, we have a lesson tonight, don't we? How to worship God.
Everything in our world is quantitative.
Yeah. And the one being, and the one coming. Praise God for that one. The one who's coming. Verse 9. Kai. Hotan. Dosusan. Ka. Zoa. Dosan. Kai. Timain. Kai. Eucharistion. Tol, Kathemeno, Epi, Tu, Thronu. Look at that word throne again there. Thronu, again. Tol, Zonte, Es, Tus, Iamas, Ton, Iano. It's so beautiful. I've named all the hymns. This is one of the first hymns that we have in the book of Revelation right here. This is a God-inspired hymn, a song to lead us in the praise and the glory of God. Beautiful. And whatever or whenever they shall give the living beings glory, that word doxology. That's glory. You ever hear of doxology? Doxology? That word comes right from here. That's when we give glory to God. We have a doxology. And we have a reading in the church, you know, and it's called a doxology. That's when you give glory to God. Glory in word. Okay? Doxon, Kai, Timain. The word Timothy comes from this word. The name Timothy. Glory. And now we have honor. Timothy means honorable, respectable, honorable. He said, these living beings, they give glory and honor and Eucharistion. What does that mean? literally good grace. Grace. Good gift. Good gift. If you want to give a gift to God, give part of your life to Him. Give your voice to Him. Say, thank you, God. Every time He does something for you, thank Him. You know, I love mechanicking. I think I'm almost a natural-born mechanic. When my grandma used to take me around in this Model A, I had an old carburetor up in the back of the thing that I used to get back up there. I mean, I was little. And I would try to take those screws out and put them back in that little old carburetor and set up on the back of that seat and crawl up there by the window and sit there and play with that carburetor ever since I was a little bitty tyke. And I got a mess of tools at my house and a great big toolbox. And I love to get out and work on things. I love doing that. Mechanical things. Mechanical things. To try to make things run. Mechanical things. Putting things together. Making them work again. You know, God takes our lives as they are, torn all to pieces, and makes them work. Can put them back together. I don't care if you lived a terrible life for 50 or 60 years of torment or sin or whatever it is. God can make you work again. He can take you apart and set you back together right. He can do it. He can fix all your ills. He can do it. Good gift. Good gift. God can give that gift to you, and we can make praises to God with what we do. We can praise God. And who are they praising? The one sitting upon the throne. To the one living unto the ages of the ages. Aeonas ton aeono. That is the absolute extremity of the expression of time in the New Testament. Eons upon eons. Eons of time. Eons. We get a word eons from that. It means age. It means ages upon the ages upon the ages upon the ages upon the ages. We call dispensationalism how God dealt with man in different stewardships of time. That's what the word dispensation means, a stewardship or a administration, if you want to call that. Look down to here. We have all these administrations of time, one age upon the other, upon the other, upon the other, and no man has lived through them all, but God has. The God of the ages, the God of the eons, the God of one age upon the other, upon the other, and upon the other. The Greeks said that the word aeon tried to bring the thought, tried to bring a picture thought of a man reaching as far as he could reach in time to try to grasp it and understand it. But this word means beyond that. And when you multiply it, we have unto the ages, that's accusative plural, of the ages, genitive plural, that's a whole bunch of them. You couldn't even fathom the first one. But when you pile one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other, upon the other, and just like it's just over and over and over, an eternal, that's what it's talking about. Something that we cannot understand. My little girl asked me, when did God begin the other day? How many of you have asked in your head that? When you can't, because you just don't understand everything has a beginning. My little girl asked me, she's got two brothers, she's got one 35 years old, and Dakota's 7. And she said, I'll take a picture and show her a picture of Jimmy, my oldest boy, when he was a baby. And she said, how old was I there? And I said, you weren't around. How come? They don't understand. A child does not understand time until they become a teenager. Did you know that? And then sometimes I wonder if teenagers know, because they never came to their own time. But that's about the time they start understanding what a day is. Everything to Dakota is yesterday, whether it was a year ago or 6 months or yesterday. Well, we're kind of like that when we try to understand eternity. We just can't quite reach it. But that's how long that we're going to worship God one of these days. The ages upon the ages upon the ages in eternity. These beings were created for to lead out in the worship of God and to teach us things. How to worship God. How to sing songs and how to praise and focus toward Him. And this is the last verse. Revelation 4 and 10. Now the 24 elders typifying the churches and the glory and Israel and all the glorified ones with Christ. It says, Hasuntai, Hoi, Ekosi, Tassaris, Presbyterui, Enokion, Tu, Kathemenu, Epi, Tu, Chronu, Kai, Proskinesusin, Tu, Zonte, Ace, Tus, Aeonas, Ton, Aeonon, Kai, Balusin, Tus, Stephanus, Altun, Enokion, Tu, Chronu, Lagonte. And this is another beautiful verse. What a verse to put before today. And they shall fall down, the 24 elders. Now these are sitting on thrones in upon the crystal foundation of the throne of God with all of this beauty, and they have crowns on their heads, and they have robes of white, and beautiful surroundings. All of a sudden, all of these words of praise goes forth, and they're led in the praise of God by these living beings. And all of a sudden, the 24 elders, down in the presence of the one sitting upon the throne, they shall be worshiping the one living unto the ages of the ages. And what do? When they worship Him? You know what the word worshiping means? Worship.
Give praise
to the one that is worthy of that praise. Worthy praise. Worship. Worthy praise. Because He is worthy. Forever and ever, it says here. For the ages and ages, and they shall throw down the crowns. The rewards of them. They shall take the rewards off, their coup feathers, their bonnets, their trophies, and throw it at the feet. Down in the presence of the throne, saying, next week we'll see that. Worthy You are the Lord, the God of us, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because You created all things. We have another song. Worthy is the Creator of the universe. Today, God gives you life to live. It's not for you, it's for Him. You should be living your life for God, not for yourself. Don't do it egocentrically. Don't live your life for yourself. Live your life for God. Because the reason why you're here in this world is to glorify Him, not you. To glorify the God of heaven. He gives you every breath, every heartbeat that you have. You know what? An atheist can stand up and blaspheme God, and every evolutionist and all of the people in education, it seems like, stand up and have to tell you how something evolved into something else and something else, how it created itself. This is talking about the Creator. And they worship animals, Greenpeace. Greenpeace? Out killing people to save animals. You know what? Animals are really important. I'm an Indian, and I respect every living life that I eat. Every time I eat a piece of bacon or a hamburger at McDonald's, wife, what do I say when I pray?
You thank God for every...
For their lives that they gave for me.
Yeah.
They gave their lives for me. Whether it's a cow or a pig or a chicken at Colonel Sanders. Those animals died for you. They gave their lives that you can live. All right? Like Jesus did. We need to be thankful every life that God has given because He gave that little animal life. And that little animal, when you eat that little rascal, it died for you. It lived for you. We ought to live for God. We ought to. But I have enough sense to do it. Well, we're not like a dumb animal, as they say. Well, it takes an animal. No animal hates God. They respect God. Animals are the creation. They respect God. They do what God says. You're never going to see an animal do what the things human beings do, disrespectful things. They abide by the rules, the creation. And the Word of God says that the creation groans for the redemption of God. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. I hope the Word of God blessed you. And we're going to have a Sunday school class and a class, some other kind of class at my... I teach three classes, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, okay? And we're going to invite you to our house out there at the potluck, and I don't know when it's going to be, maybe, in about a week or something, on a Saturday, and probably around noon so it won't be so cold or whatever. We'll try to figure out a day, and you can come and fellowship and get along and... get to know each other a little better and eat some good food and smell the country breeze out there in the sticks. I live on Gosford Road all the way just before you come to Bear Mountain out there in the sticks. And out there, last farm on the right-hand side with the tall palm trees and the cypresses are out in that area. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us to learn to worship you from your word. And we praise you, God, for all the things you give us, and help us, guide us, lead our footsteps, which way you want us to go, and the things that we might bring honor and glory to you with our lives, we ask you to help us to do those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.